The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
The Phoenix Park Transport and Mobility Options Study post-consultation report was published earlier this week, met with mixed emotions, many feeling that the Minister for State and the OPW, Patrick O'Donovan, had ignored what the public feels is right for the park. Well, I'm joined by one of the people who feel that the Minister could have done more in his proposal. That's Green Party leader on Dublin City Council, Michael Pidgeon. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
OK, what were you looking for that you didn't get?
Essentially, there were a couple of things in the report that they did earlier in the year that the minister has kind of backtracked on a bit. They were admittedly, he's kept most of the good stuff, which is good news. So about 80% of the report is really, really positive stuff.
Okay, but now, I'll pause you there just for a second. Yeah. What's the good stuff? Is it about cycling and walking?
Pretty much, yeah. So just to give an example, Chesterfield Avenue, the main drag down the Phoenix Park, there's nowhere to legally cross that at the moment as a pedestrian. There's no crossings at all, which is bizarre. So that's something that's going to be fixed. There's going to be extra pedestrian routes. They're going to lower the speed limit. They're going to update the bylaws. The Upper Glen Road, which is kind of along the south of the park, there's going to be no more through traffic. There's finally going to be a bus route going into the park. They're not going to bring back parking on Chesterfield Avenue. Cabra Gate is going to become bus only to give the bus route a bit of priority so it's not stuck in traffic. So there's a lot of good stuff coming through. But I guess the criticism which he alluded to there is that some of the harder choices around two of the gates in particular, Ashtown and Knockmaroon, which were initially planned that it would kind of be, those gates would be modified to stop through traffic or at least reduce it. He's backtracked on that. And I think it's a bit disappointing.
Now, for people who live in the area and use these kind of routes to access, for example, if you wanted to come from Cabra, from the Navan Road across to Chapelizod, the idea would be you'd go completely around the park, isn't that it? You wouldn't go through the park at all. That's the idea. But a lot of people who live locally are saying, look, this would greatly inconvenience us if those gates were to be closed. Thankfully, they're staying open. And equally, when you think of Bloom in the Park, which hopefully will return next year, people would use those kind of gates to get access to those kind of events and other events that might be happening in the Phoenix Park, whether it's road races or whatever it might be. These are very convenient routes when you need them.
Yeah, for sure. And it's important to distinguish between the two things. So one, the second thing you mentioned there is about access to the park. So that's people looking to go to events. And there was nothing in the plan that ever would have prevented this. This is people want to drive into the park, you know, and there's lots of reasons why people might need to drive to the park. That access was always going to be preserved. But what we are talking about is through traffic. So this is people using the park as a shortcut to get through or using it as a way to avoid paying the toll on the M50, which is, you know, understandable. But I guess that cuts back to the core question of what is this? Is it a park or is it a road? And which function should it primarily support? And we saw last summer.
But you wanted those gates, just there to be only through traffic through Chesterfield Avenue. In other words, starting at Parkade Street and going to Castle Lock, that would be the only route for through traffic. You'd have obstacles and barriers and cul-de-sacs all over the place to stop people using the other gates. Isn't that right?
Pretty much, with the view to making sure that people can still access the park by car, but trying to reduce the amount of car traffic going through the side roads. Because we saw in summer when that did happen in a slightly blunter way, we saw kind of how nice the park was. And, you know, a lot more people were walking out, maybe teaching their kids how to ride a bike and enjoying the streets a lot more. Because it instead of feeling like you were walking along the side of a road, it felt like you were much more in a park, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. The cycling lanes, there's more of them, I believe, cycling places to keep people separated really from pedestrians, because cyclists can be very dangerous, as you know. For some reason nowadays, cyclists don't seem to have a bell on their bike, so there's no audible warning when they suddenly whiz past if you've got a shared space. So it appears that the cyclists will actually have kind of a better space than the pedestrians being pushed under the trees on Chesterfield Avenue, and the cyclists kind of having priority nearer the road.
I think what's happened is that we kind of had that before, that the cyclists and the pedestrians, you know, that the pedestrians had to go under the trees, but in practice would walk in the cycle lane because that just seemed the natural place to be. And it creates conflicts. And as you say, it's not good for anyone at all, that kind of shared space system. So what they've done is they've removed the parking all along Chesterfield Avenue, and that's where they're planning to make it a cycle lane. So in practice, pedestrians are getting a better offering because they're now going to have the option of walking under the trees or beside the road, but then the cyclists will take where the car parking was. So I think it's win-win.
Is this a plan though for the able-bodied? Do you know, if you park, I don't know where you park, if you're going to Dublin Zoo, for example, you park somewhere around there, not on Chesterfield Avenue, so you're probably going to be in a temporary car park on the polo grounds or somewhere like that. If you park there then as a visitor to the park, and you want to look at Áras an Uachtaráin and see the flag flying, is the president at home or is he not? You've got a bit of a trek. Fine if you're able-bodied. If you're a little bit hampered in your mobility, forget it.
I think that's kind of what the park currently is difficult for people who aren't able-bodied. Like I mentioned earlier, if you get out of the car and you want to cross the road anywhere along Chesterfield Avenue, you kind of have to either wait ages for a long break in traffic, or you have to kind of do a little, you know, a little scurry or a jog across. And that simply doesn't work for a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm not talking about people having to cross the road.
I understand.
Staying on the same side and looking at Áras an Uachtaráin, you know, it is a bit of a trek. So, yeah, you know, heretofore, people might park on Chesterfield Avenue, get out, take a photograph in front of the Áras, get back in the car. You know, will you be making special arrangements, or will they be making special arrangements for people who've got a wheelchair sign on their car?
There is going to be a parking strategy for the park, which is one of the things that was announced, to look at exactly those kind of questions. I think the existing car parks there's more than 2,000 car spaces in the park. There's a lot already. And I think the idea is to make sure that access to those is maintained, because for the reasons you say, you do want people to be able to visit the park regardless of age or ability. But I guess it's also about just making sure that when you're in the park, it's not completely car dominated, because in practice, that's not down to people's needs. That's often down to people using it as a shortcut.
I used to run night orienteering events in the Phoenix Park years and years ago when I was big into orienteering. And the idea is you did it in the dark. It strikes me that trying to navigate the Phoenix Park, for those who don't know it, and I know it well, it's going to be a bit like a night orienteering event. They're going to need a lot of help to find their way around, no matter whether they're walking, cycling or driving.
Yeah, I think that's always the case with the park. And that's probably part of the upside of it. You know, I found in the last summer, I live fairly near to it, but I found I was discovering parts of the park that I hadn't seen before, because you take a turn maybe that you hadn't before. So that's kind of one of the benefits of the park. I think something that isn't included in this report, but we have called for, was to try and improve lighting along the main strip. Like, it's good that there are parts of the park that are dark for, you know, for activities like you mentioned, but also just for nature. But the main strip going down Chesterfield Avenue, that's a real opportunity, I think, to improve the lighting there, because you do see a lot of people going out for a run or a walk, often quite late at night. And obviously, as the evenings get darker,
you missed the point, Michael. I'm saying that navigating it by day with all these changes is going to be just like trying to do a night orienteering event in the dark. It's going to be very confusing. Cul-de-sacs here, cul-de-sacs there. Where do you park? You're going to play sport in the 15 acres and you've got a bundle of kids and whatever. Are you going to be able to get back up there? Or do you have to go down to Parkade Street to get in, to find your way around, even if you live on the Navan Road? You know.
I think there's always a bit of confusion anytime you make a change. I mean, I'm sure it was exactly the same when they made any road in town one way, or when they pedestrianised Grafton Street, or with upcoming pedestrianisations. There's always going to be a couple of weeks where people are figuring their way around. But I think people are smart, they adapt, and in most cases they're often using Google Maps, which will be updated fairly quickly as well.
All right, I'll read some of the comments coming in regarding the Phoenix Park development. I live in Castleknock. I have mobility issues. I wouldn't be able to use a bus to get to the Phoenix Park. I use the Phoenix Park a lot and I love it, but I need my car to do so. Tried contacting the OPW, but never heard back from them. There's no mention of exemptions for people with disabilities. So I've raised that issue, and there is to be a parking strategy, according to Councillor Michael Pigeon. I live in Rathgar. I occasionally like to go for a walk in the park with my dog. My only means of transport to get there is my car. I would access it via Inchicore through the Chapelizod Gate. Does the park belong to the people of Ireland or just the locals? It was missed during lockdown. Lots of people from all over Dublin use it for different activities, not just walking and cycling. Access should be available and maintained for all. That's from Mary. The DCC attack on motorists continues. They've destroyed the north and south quays in the city. Now they're about to do the same to the Phoenix Park. Cyclists racing around the park at speeds exceeding 30 kilometres and are a bigger menace in the park than cars. The park is a vital artery in the daily commute. Phoenix Park completely ignores the needs of the local community and the congestion there around the Navan Road. It's very easy for people in the city to want to have a car-free park, but they don't live in the area. Very selfish. Any closing off of the Phoenix Park gates brings traffic jams all around the surrounds of the park. People who live in Castleknock, Blanchardstown and other areas use the park roads to travel home. At present, the traffic is very bad from Hanlon's Corner back down to St. Peter's Church every day because of the closing of Lower Grange Gorman to traffic. It's increased the traffic by 50% in the Phibsborough area. Blackhorse Avenue would be a car park if any gates are closed. Also, Infirmary Road, Island Bridge and other roads, there will be total traffic chaos. Most people, when going to the zoo, drive their cars, and the zoo relies on car drivers to feed their animals. Thank you very much for reinforcing the views of locals like Castleknock, Chapel Izzet and the Navan Road. The report says residents in Kilmainham and Inchicore, where Councillor Pidgeon is based, were broadly supportive of the original plans for the gates, but large swathes of Dublin 15 and Dublin West were broadly not. And that's because the OPW didn't assess the traffic impact on those neighbouring communities or offer any transport strategy to mitigate it. Four gates into one would have huge implications on congestion. And it goes on and on and on. So it's a mixed bag, Michael, and you didn't get what you wanted, but I'm sure a lot of people in the areas are glad that you did not.
Probably so. There's always winners and losers with this, with these sorts of approaches, for sure. And there's always strong feelings. I just say one thing in particular is that the gates were closed in a blunter way than is being proposed here for a while. And the kind of the stories of traffic chaos and so forth there didn't emerge and didn't arise. I think what you saw was a problem with parking. But if we allow access into the park and make sure everyone can access the park, including by car, I don't think that'll be an issue anymore. As to the
Someone
people who
says,
were saying
by
there,
the way, the existing cycle lanes work very well on Chesterfield Avenue. Why actually eliminate the parking spaces?
Well, the status quo right now is that the parking spaces are eliminated.
That happened during the pandemic, you know, when all of us were too worried about disease to be too worried about traffic. And then we woke up and found that all sorts of things had been implemented by councils everywhere without any consultation with anybody at all. So, well, just because it happened during the pandemic doesn't mean it has to be permanent.
Sure, sure. Well, it will be now. But if we were talking about the pre-COVID ones, I don't think those bike lanes worked at all, to be honest, because I used them myself both as a pedestrian and a cyclist. And it felt like a lot of pedestrians would use them because it was a natural place to walk, and it put them in conflict with cyclists. And as you said yourself, it's not
nice. Weren't you pushing the pedestrians under? You were pushing the pedestrians under the trees.
That's what they were doing, yes.
And now the pedestrians always had, the right of passage on, because the first priority is always the pedestrian. That's the hierarchy. Pedestrians, then cyclists, then maybe the scooters, and it goes on upwards until you reach a 40-ton truck.
Exactly.
What
we're doing now is removing the cyclists from the area which were designated cycle lanes, but pedestrians use them anyway. And I think that led to a lot of confusion and conflicts. So it's better to remove the parking, get the cyclists off what looks like a footpath, and put them in a designated lane on the road. That's better for pedestrians, I think.
Another question, how are my parents, who are in their 70s, supposed to avail of the park with all these rules? They can't cycle or jog, obviously. They haven't got a disabled sticker for their car because they're not disabled. All this Green Party cycle stuff rules ageism again and again. That's what that person is saying. You know, you're presuming that everyone who's on their 2 feet and who's on two wheels are fit and able, and everyone else is crocked and have a disabled sticker. That's not the way life is.
Of course. But we've had this conversation for months, and every time I come on or speak about it, I always say that you should be able to access the park by car, and we're talking about through traffic. And then you get a text like that saying, well, how do I access the park by car? No one at any point is talking about removing all cars from the park or stopping people from getting to the existing car parks in the park by car. There should be car access to the Phoenix Park. I can't say that strongly enough. what we're talking about is reducing through traffic.
Just to clarify your point, the Chesterfield Avenue in the Phoenix Park is not a rat run. It's a major arterial route from the west side into Dublin City. It always has been. Other major parks in Europe, such as Tiergarten in central Berlin, have an amazing dual carriageway running straight through Tiergarten with parking in the centre and to each side, and it works great for Berliners. So there you go. Anyway, is this the definitive article now, Michael? Is this the end of it?
I suspect not. They didn't, with the two gates, which I mentioned I was a bit disappointed about, they said that they've deferred them. Now, it's 3 to 7 years, so it might well be an exercise in just kicking the can down the road. But they're doing that to allow a bit more time to kind of study traffic, especially after COVID and with bus connects, and see kind of what the impacts are. So I suspect it's probably not going to go away. I think these changes will be positive. They're mostly uncontroversial, and I think most people are in favour of them, and they should improve the park. But I suspect the core question of what is the park for, should it be a national park or a national road, that's probably not going to go away.
As I recall, it was given by Lord Chesterfield to the citizens of Dublin, was it not?
I think so.
Yeah. All right, thanks very much, Michael, for joining us. Michael Pidgeon, who's a Green Party leader on Dublin City Council, representing the South West Inner City.